Prime Minister of Montenegro, Mr. Igor Lukšić, visited Vatican Radio on Saturday morning, during which he spoke with Chris Altieri about his trip to Italy and his meeting with Italy's Prime Minister, Mario Monti, other ministers, and leaders of industry, commerce, and culture.
It has been, I think, a very useful visit. I can say a success because we managed to keep excellent political relations between Montenegro and Italy, and we are opening the way or paving the way for the further investments and expansion of economic cooperation, which in these difficult times is of essential importance.
And but you're not building these relationships from the ground up. I mean, there are some existing commercial and economic ties between Italy and,
indeed.
And Montenegro. So where are you looking, how are you looking to strengthen these?
Well, Italy has become the top investor, or companies whose origin is Italian have become top investors in Montenegro because of the acquisition of an important part of the power company. And also we are now preparing everything for the construction of the seabed cable, interconnecting cable between Italy and Montenegro that should make Montenegro a regional hub of the energy transmission. And that investment, which is a big one, will also help viability of energy projects in the region. So Montenegro could be used as a point to transmit energy from Western Balkans towards Italy and then Western Europe. So we are using that ground of economic cooperation to spread out to other segments such as infrastructure, port of our railways, but also many other businesses. And I'm very glad that based on historical relations, cultural relations, political relations, there are now possibilities to expand economic cooperation in different segments of our economy.
I'm wondering how the Montenegrin economy is evolving and how you're keeping pace with the need to have a workforce educated for it, and whether there are any cultural connections in this sense with Italy and with perhaps other places in the West as well to help in that direction.
There is, I should say, two chief policies we pursued. One is European integration process and Euro-Atlantic integration process. We hope next month to start accession talks with the European Union. And also we have advanced, we have progressed, and that progress will be acknowledged next week at Chicago Summit of NATO. That what makes our foreign priorities, and those foreign priorities go hand in hand with our internal policies of further reforming the whole system, not only political but economic system, and also we're talking here about conducting structural reforms in the field of education, in the field of social security, health, and so on. And that's what makes the process of transforming a country that used to be part of socialist Yugoslavia and one of the poorest Yugoslav republics into a modern, democratic, dynamic, entrepreneurial country. It is a complex process, and it requires new knowledge, new know-how. It requires educated young people, and therefore we have to rely upon intensive exchange of knowledge between us and the Western world.
Well, there is, an enormous amount, an infinity of technical minutiae that people who are interested in the subject can get in and get lost in. But there's the broader question: why Europe and why now? Why seek integration? Is it simply an economic matter?
No, it's not simply an economic matter. Because now many people actually wonder why a country should like to integrate with the European Union when the European Union is such a big difficulties, given the public finances crisis and so on. But it's more than that. I mean, when you look at 60 years ago, it was economic integration that was used as an instrument for preserving the peace in Europe. And European Union has evolved in a supranational integration process, which actually means living together in diversities. So Montenegro is a specific country with small, complex society. We're at the crossroads of cultures. We are a majority Orthodox country, but there is significant population of Montenegrin Catholics, or Catholics living in Montenegro. There is also one-fifth of the population who are Muslims. So we are quite a heterogeneous community, and we believe that the model we have built, positive model of cooperation inside the country, could be our contribution to the European DNA, let's put it that way.
Well, I'm glad that you brought this up, because the idea of Europe as a cultural and an intellectual conceptual space before it's a political reality is something that is very interesting. The interplay that you have between, let's say, the culture of cooperation and the institutional reality, I'm thinking of the interplay between institution and culture. What is your vision for that, and how do you see Europe improving, strengthening this same interplay?
We're talking here about the region, which went through a lot of difficulties in past two decades, especially 90s. Fortunately, Montenegro was the only country that did not directly suffer the war and the demolition in inside the country. But we were kept victims of the wars in the region, of the United Nations sanctions, and there were a lot of other troubles. And all along, we've had to deal with the transition from centrally planned system into a functional market system, market economy. And all of that together at the same time, it's very, very difficult and very, very challenging.
It's a lot to chew. But let's stay on the question of, because you have a couple of very sizable religious minorities within the context of a majority Orthodox culture and society. The Holy Father has been concerned with religious liberty and the right understanding of what that is. How do you culturally and institutionally understand religious liberty?
First of all, based on our constitution, religious liberty is guaranteed. But we have felt the need to further improve and further institutionalize that liberty. So when I was here last year, when I met the Holy Father and I also met the officials of the Holy See, we took the opportunity of signing the Concord between the Holy See and Montenegro. And we are the first modern Orthodox country that did it. And we are very proud of it. It has also opened the door for settling the institutional relationship between state of Montenegro with other religious communities. Earlier this year, I also signed contracts with the Islam community in Montenegro and Jewish community in Montenegro, though very small Jewish community, but it has certain symbolic relevance. And I think by doing that, we are paving the way for Montenegro, which could really show a positive experience and positive model to many other countries. One of the chief accomplishments of Montenegro in past years has been investment into good neighborly relations. If we want really and truly and frankly to invest into good neighbor relations, we need first of all to further improve and enrich internal relations within Montenegro. So I think that we can tell a lot to the outside world, and we take any opportunity that we may have to emphasize the need for doing more in that field, because unless we take advantage of the richness, cultural richness we have in Montenegro, for example, but it also means in other countries in the region, one cannot really exploit all the possibilities for further development, economic development, societal development of our regional countries.
I was fascinated by just the way that you were talking about the need to strengthen internal coherence in society and the way that this plays into and affects the regional prospects and projects that you have. especially in the context of the presence of the Catholic community. Mm-hmm. And I wondered whether I might ask you more specifically about the Catholic presence in Montenegrin society. Very often, Catholic minorities are disproportionately present in society through education, healthcare, things like this. And I was wondering whether that's the case in Montenegro and whether you're also looking to strengthen those ties.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, you know, my family background, my family roots go to my hometown, Bar, which is truly a crossroad. And I grew up, knowing about diversities. And it is important to help any segment of the society really show all the richness it has. And Catholic community in Montenegro has been quite active in past years in different fields. And by institutionalizing the relationship between the government and the Catholic community, we actually provide a new opportunity to intensify the presence and activities in different sorts or of different kinds, such as education, as you say, also institutions that provide care and many other similar sort of activities. And we are working hard to help certain projects also materialize. So I think we're on the good way of providing intensive implementation of different sorts of Catholic presence.
I wanted to give you the chance, like I said, to have the last word. And so I'll leave it with you if there's anything that bears mention about your trip here this time around that we haven't touched on or anything that you are very concerned to say to you.
No, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here to talk to everybody who listens to Radio Vatican. I hope that next week, actually, our parliament, after the debate has been finished, will vote on the Concord, on the basic agreement. And I hope that our officials will be able very soon to present instruments of ratification. I will take any opportunity I can to further promote a relationship between the Holy See and Montenegro, but also between Italy and Montenegro as historically, traditionally, culturally, economically, we should get together, work together to help ordinary people live better.